Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John. It's chapter 20, and I'll be reading verses 24 through 27 from the New American Standard Bible. But Thomas, one of the 12, who was called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Place your finger here and see my hands, and take your hand and put it into my side, and do not continue in disbelief, but be a believer." This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. So today is the second Sunday of Easter. We always think of Easter as a day, don't we? Easter is actually a season, and it begins on Resurrection Sunday. We have our season of Lent that precedes Easter, and then we have the season of Easter. So if anybody does know this, how many days are there in Easter? You know, because I told you. Do you know? There are 50 days. Did you know that?
No.
Well, now you do.
That's 5 more days than Lent.
That is 5. Well, it's 10 more days than Lent. Yeah, you are on the right multiples. It is longer than Lent. So we get to celebrate the resurrection longer than we observe that season leading up to resurrection. That's kind of nice, right?
Is it Lent's 40 days plus weekends, or plus Sundays?
Yeah, but we dropped the Sundays off.
Oh, right. So is this 40 days plus Sundays?
No, this is 50 days.
There's not 10 Sundays and 50 days.
There's 50 days. And it goes from Resurrection Sunday to Pentecost. And so that's the season. And so when we say, well, hey, Easter people, it's because we're in this 50 days between the morning that we celebrate Jesus' resurrection and the day when everything was downloaded. So today is the second Sunday. We observe a few things in this particular weekend. Now, my favorite one, and I didn't get it done this year, which kind of disappoints me in myself, but this is traditionally Holy Humor Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so this is when we tell jokes, and I have literally heard of people hiding whoopee cushions in the pew cushions and things. So y'all should be glad I don't have a lot of spare time between churches to hide whoopee cushions in there. And the reason that it is Holy Humor Sunday is because it's right after the 1st of April usually. And so, you know, April Fool's is kind of on our minds, and we know that Jesus played the ultimate April Fool's joke on Satan because he did not like Satan's celebrating, going, "Ha ha, Jesus is dead." And Jesus is like, "Ha ha, no, I'm not." So that is why it is Holy Humor Sunday. And we usually, if people have good church jokes, I encourage you to, you know, shout them out. We also talk on this second Sunday oftentimes about Thomas. Because we've given him a moniker, haven't we? What do we call him?
Doubting Thomas.
Everybody calls him Doubting Thomas. And so we look at him and we look at that moment between him and Jesus. So we're going to talk about Thomas today. But there's also two other things. This is quote-unquote Low Sunday. Did you know that? And it has nothing to do with us being sad or it being raining. It's because everybody went to church last week. And so few people go to church this week. And so it is one of the lowest attended Sundays of the year. There are three well-attended Sundays, Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. And then the Sunday after those tends to be kind of smaller groups of people. Maybe because they have dinners, but often it's because everybody just went last week. And I guess we all just bought one dress. So, oh, by the way, I guess I told him at Ohio Street, I did not fill him in at Rich Hill, that last Sunday, do you remember what my Easter dress was? It had the little weenie dogs on it. Those were not pajamas, by the way. Good. Someone came up to me at a funeral on Monday and said, "I love that you wore your night-night pajamas for Easter Sunday." And I went, "Huh?" And they said, yeah, you had on your night-night pajamas. I saw you on video. And I went, that was a dress. Sorry. Yeah, there were weenie dogs on it, but it was definitely not pajamas. So in case people didn't know, I did not wear my pajamas last Sunday. Just wanted you, because I'll probably wear that dress again. I loved it. But there's another kind of special day that happened during this last week, and it is not celebrated on the 12th, which is today. It was celebrated on the 9th. And you heard, you know, these last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of, we celebrate life at a celebration of life, but they tend to be pretty low key, you know? So no matter how much we try and have fun and celebrate at someone's funeral, they can be kind of, they're hard on you. And so I thought, we're gonna be a little lighter hearted today, you know, because there's been a lot of services the last couple weeks. Last Sunday seems like it was a long time ago. And there was a celebration April 9th that I just think is a really fun one, and I decided we might talk about it today. Anybody know what April 9th is? Oh, Joanne knows, but anybody else?
Joanne.
Because she's already heard it. It is National Unicorn Day. Did you know that? Did you know it existed?
No. So, my mom told me about it.
Your mom told you about it? Well, that is good, because I was pretty excited. And I knew the kids would love having national unicorns. I said, can we talk about unicorns at church? And my husband said, well, maybe. So as I started looking into Unicorn Day and its origins and why we get excited about unicorns, I went ahead and I, like, Googled unicorns in the Bible. Oh, do I have your attention now? 9 times there are unicorns in the Bible. And I think, Robert, you carry a King James Bible, do you not? King James is the one who actually uses the word unicorn most. It's a very old use of the language. And now, in the more modern ones, they have taken unicorn and made them oxen, and I'm so disappointed that we've done that. But there are 9 mentions in the King James Bible of unicorns. Numbers 23:22 says, God brought them out of Egypt, and he hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. In Job is such an uplifting book, right? Job 39:9-10 says, will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by thy crib? Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow? There's a couple references here in Psalms, and this doesn't name all 9 of them. I just lifted a few. Psalms 22:21 says, save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Psalm 29:6 says, he maketh them skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. And Deuteronomy 33:17 says, his glory is like a firstling of the bullock, and his horns like the horn of a unicorn. See, it's biblical. So since it's biblical, we could talk about unicorns in church, right? That is why I was like, you know, I'm going with it. The term unicorn is derived from a Hebrew word, re'em, which suggests a strong, untamable beast that's emphasized by its strength and ferocity, symbolizing purity and the beauty of God's creation. Now we like unicorns even better, right? Even if you didn't like unicorns, you might like them now. They are often used metaphorically to represent God's power and the might of his creation. There are several notable, and I reduced this to a very small, like, here's some trivia for you about unicorns. This first one started 2,000 years before Christ, and it's not biblical, but it is something they did in the Bronze Age, which is biblical. The version of the unicorn was on their soapstones. It was very common to have unicorns in their art. In the year 400 BC, so again, before Christ, there was a Greek historian that described an animal the size of a horse with a white body, blue eyes, and a cubit long horn. And I really wish I'd brought my cubit from home so we know how long that was.
That's a unicorn.
Yes, exactly. Yes. From 1460 to 1488, the King James III issued coins that depicted a unicorn, and it was then chosen to be the national animal of Scotland. So it is Scotland's currently, it is their national animal. And so the whole origins of National Unicorn Day started in Scotland. So they have these coins, and the reason they chose the unicorn is because it was supposed to be in opposition to the lion. And if you know your Scottish history at all, you might know that London and Scotland have not always gotten along. And so they chose the unicorn because it was in opposition to the lion that was the national animal of London. So in the 18th century, London pharmacies sold powdered unicorn horn for people to buy to put on their wounds for them to heal. In 1707, the unicorn and the lion were united on the British coat of arms, symbolizing that the countries had reunified. Now, a couple of these will make you giggle, probably even more than the powdered unicorn horn. In 1971, the year that I was born, Lake Superior University in Michigan began issuing unicorn hunting permits, and you can still buy them today. There, I know, right? I think we all should take this huge mission, like little trip, to and get us all unicorn hunting licenses, just because it'd be fun to have something in your wallet that says that you have it. There is a sculpture of the Virgin Mary. I really want to Google this one and find it. I did not do it. There is a sculpture of the Virgin Mary holding a unicorn in her lap, petting it in Warsaw's National Museum. So see, we need to look that one up. I led with this today, kind of impromptu. I heard this at a conference one time. Do you know what a group of crocodiles is called?
No.
It's called a congregation. Did you know that? And the reason they brought it up at the conference is because it's funny that they are snappy and stuff like that, and we're like, oh, our congregations would never be like that. So I ask you then, what do you think a group of unicorns is called? A blessing. Isn't that nice? I was working in my head on the drive here on Baccalaureate for Rich Hill, and I think I'm going to tell them that they're a group of unicorns, so they're a blessing. A baby unicorn is called a sparkle. In Scottish tradition, the unicorn is a symbol of happiness, wonder, and they established April 9th as a lucky day for Scots, recognizing National Unicorn Day since 1825. Old stuff. This is old stuff. America jumped on the bandwagon back in 2015. So for the past, 11 years, we have been celebrating National Unicorn Day, probably so we could capitalize on unicorns. Well, I decided that we should talk about unicorns because here I'm sitting here working on funeral arrangements and different things on that day, and that was Unicorn Day. And so my favorite handbag company, and you guys know that I like my handbags, was having a Unicorn Day celebration. They were going to drop a special handbag at 1 o'clock p.m., and they were going to be unicorn bags. In retail, a unicorn is something that is rare. It is something there's only very few of. So it doesn't matter what kind it is. I've seen bracelets. I've seen all kinds of products that are listed as unicorns because there's not very many to be had. So they were going to drop these bags at 1 o'clock. I was messaging Sammy while she's at Silver Dollar City, and we were making our plans to shop online. And I told her, you got to check out in the first 30 seconds or you're not going to get anything because they sell out that fast. And I did. I checked out in the first 30 seconds, and the sale was over in a minute or two. And so afterwards, my fun thing to do when I do a unicorn shopping thing is to go and look at social media afterwards, because there's all these people who get on there and say, I missed the whole drop, doggone it, I'm so mad that I didn't get a unicorn. And I thought, oh, here we go. Why is it they're purses? Most of you could care less about purses. That's my hobby. Why is it we get so worked up about something as unimportant as a purse? Why is that? Like, literally, I'm asking, why is it? Why is it that this person here in Missouri got a bag and somebody over here in California didn't, and that person is so upset? Why are they so upset?
They were left out.
They were left out. When you hear...
They make it sound like there's only just a few of them.
Then everybody wants it.
Yes.
This is so rare.
Yes.
Everybody wants it, but there's only three. But you want to be that person who holds it in your hands. You know what the leather feels like. You get the smell of the leather. You get to see what the color looks like out in the sun. You got to be the one who experiences it. And if you're not the one who experiences it, and you even find out you're not able to because you can't physically get it in your hands, people get very upset and passionate about it, right? They say, I just completely missed out on this very special thing. And that is how my brain works and how it connected to me in the moment for Thomas. We get FOMO. We get the fear of missing out. We don't want to be picked last. We don't want to miss out on something that other people are, especially if they're really good retailers, they're going to promote the heck out of things. And we're all going to be like, oh my gosh, this is going to be the best thing in the world. And then if we miss out on it, we really feel like we've missed out. So, okay, let's think about Thomas and what it was like to be him. I Googled, where was Thomas when Jesus showed up in the room? And you know what everybody thinks where Thomas was? He was the one who was sent out for groceries. And so he's at the grocery store getting provisions for everybody else who's staying locked up in this room because they don't know whether they're even safe to go outside still, right? I mean, they know that Jesus is resurrected, but they still don't know. They don't have their marching orders. That's why we're waiting for Pentecost. They were waiting for that digital download in their heads when they would know what they were supposed to do. And so for right now, they didn't know what to do, and they didn't know if they were safe, and they kept the doors locked, and they stayed inside. And Thomas was elected. He got the short straw. So he went to go get groceries. And Jesus comes. And it's 8 days between the time that Jesus came and showed himself to everyone else and the time that he came back for Thomas to see him. So for 8 days, what do you think Thomas heard? Oh my gosh, it was the greatest thing! Did you see Jesus? He looked so different. We know that from the garden, right? Nobody recognized him. He looked so different. How did he change that much in 3 days? He had a glow to him. Oh my word, it was so wonderful seeing Jesus. And they're all 8 days in the room. Everyone can only talk about how amazing it was to see Jesus. And here's Thomas over here going, enjoy your glass of milk, fellas. Fear of missing out. He had already missed out. He didn't have it. He couldn't have it. Everyone else has experienced it. Everyone else can't do anything but talk about how great it was. And there's Thomas. And after a while, what do you think Thomas felt like? And he was like, you know what? I'm not even going to believe it. Not unless I see it for myself. I got to touch it. And I don't even just want to see it. I want to feel it. Let me feel his hands. Make sure that's really Jesus. I don't believe that was really Jesus. I bet somebody's pulling the wool over your eyes. Got to see it for myself. Got to hold it in my hands, smell it, feel it, know it on my own merit. That's where Thomas was. We pick on Thomas. We gave him the name Doubting Thomas. Unicorns are biblical. The name Doubting Thomas is not. We give him that title because Jesus mentions that he had doubts. But that's not a biblical name. Well, before we think about picking too much on Thomas, consider last week, and we talked about Mary, and we talked about all the women who went to the grave, and we talk about the disciples. Okay, so Mary saw. She goes back and tells. Did the disciples believe her? They ran to the tomb themselves. And even when they got there, it says that not until they stooped and looked inside and saw, it says once they saw, they believed. But for some reason, we give Thomas a hard time about it. Everyone else had to see for themselves too. They had to have more than just the word of the women. They had to have an experience. And so Thomas, in his frustration of missing out on this wonderful, amazing. You talk about unicorns. If something rare and special is a unicorn, how rare and special is it to touch the hands of the resurrected Jesus? Oh man, that's the most glorious unicorn. And he was missing out on that. And he said, I need an experience of my own. And so 8 days later, Jesus comes into a locked room, meaning that he magically appeared in there because no one unlocked it, and he didn't call Thomas a doubter. He called him to come. He said, I'm here, come. By the way, nobody had called Jesus on the cell phone and told him that Thomas had said these things. Jesus just knew. He knew that Thomas needed that affirmation. He knew that he needed an experience, And so when he came in the room, he welcomed everyone and he said, Thomas, you come to me. You feel my hands. You feel my side. And then let your doubts fall away and believe. Thomas is only called by his proper name and the word for twin in the Bible. Now, we never hear anything about his twin. We don't know their name. We don't know if they were male or female. We know nothing about Thomas's twin. It's one of those, another one of those things I Googled this week. Tell me about Thomas's twin. And one scholar brought up a neat point and said, you know what? Maybe the Bible leaves room for us to see ourselves as Thomas's twins. Because we have questions. We want to experience Christ. But if no one else asks the questions, we don't have permission to either, do we? But in Thomas, we see a real guy who was really hurt, who was really sad, who was really frustrated, and who really had questions and wanted to have an experience with Christ. And so he said the words out loud that maybe other people wouldn't. And in him, we can see ourselves. And we can give ourselves permission to ask Jesus questions too. So I kind of like the idea that we might be the Didymus to Thomas, the twin. Each week, pastors say to congregations, don't we want to draw closer to our Savior, Jesus Christ? Don't we want to be in a relationship closely and fully with Him? And if we think about Thomas's words that he wanted to be close to Christ, well, that's exactly what we call upon each other to do. To be so close we could take his hand. And so Thomas really was the first one to invite us all into that relationship, and Jesus met him there and said, do come be that close to me. So maybe that's the thing that we carry with us today, is that Thomas wasn't an outsider in the story, but he might be the one who looks the most like us. Because deep down, we also want to have an experience and not just hear about Jesus. Who doesn't want to be one with the story about our relationship with Christ? Who doesn't want to have a personal experience with him? We want to know it. We want to feel it. And we want the resurrection experience to be personal. We're talking about all of these folks who've gone home to live with Jesus in the past couple of weeks. What is it that we talk about the most at a funeral? Their personal resurrection into heaven. We not only celebrate that on Resurrection Sunday, we cling to that. When we think about the people that have gone on ahead of us, we cling to their resurrection, and then we take that to cling to our own, that, Lord, one day you will raise me too, to be in resurrection with you and with the people that I have loved that have gone to be with you. We desire so much to live the resurrection promise and hope that we need to look into this, the eyes of Thomas here, and ask the questions and experience Christ now to help us cling to that promise that we look forward to. Do you all look forward to resurrection?
Amen.
I mean, who doesn't? Everyone. We want to know that our people, talk about how did Jesus change in 3 days. The folks that we have loved and have sent ahead of us, we don't imagine them being exactly like they were here either, do we? In that 2 or 3 days between the time that they go home and the time that we go to celebrate, we imagine them fully restored. We imagine people who had no memory anymore having a full memory. We imagine people whose bodies were broken being fully healed. Upgraded, as we said last night. I want to be upgraded. Don't you want to be upgraded? We look forward to that resurrection. And so I think that Thomas invites us to experience Christ in a way that helps us to hold on to that promise. And the good news for us is that Jesus didn't say, well, it's too bad, Thomas, you just missed it. Or, well, you should have been here the first time. Or, just take everyone else's word for it. You don't need to see for yourself. Jesus showed up meeting him where the doors were locked and it seemed that everything was impossible. And he said, come, see, touch, and experience. He didn't tell Thomas, just try harder to believe Or pretend you don't have any questions. I love that, by the way, because I have questions. Jesus invited Thomas to come close. So your assignment, you all get an assignment every week. Rather than taking everyone else's word for it about Jesus, look for an experience of your own. Pay attention. Because Jesus is already resurrected and working in each of us, already showing up. So look and say, where is it that Jesus has been showing up? You know, we can get so busy doing the work for Jesus that we fail to see him in the room. We're so busy. So look around and say, where have I been seeing you? Maybe you have been in the middle of all kinds of things and you just feel peace wash over you and you don't know where it came from. That's an experience with Jesus. Maybe you have a conversation with someone that was not at all planned, but in that conversation you felt yourself being blessed. You had an experience with Jesus. Maybe you felt that there was not one more ounce of wind in your sails and suddenly you had the energy to do the things you needed to do. That was an experience with Jesus. I invite you this week to pay attention to those. Because the resurrection is not rare. Resurrection is real and happening all around us all the time. Sometimes we're just too busy to see Jesus. So the second week of Easter, let's all be unicorn hunters. Don't feel bad if you need Jesus. Don't feel like you can't ask the questions because Jesus gives us permission. Thomas gives us permission to do that. To say, I need to see you, I need to feel you, and I need to experience you for myself. Want to go hunting? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of, again, another experience that happened in the Bible where we can not just hear a story, but see ourselves in it. We understand what it is like to be left out. We understand how devastating it would be to miss out on you. Lord, we look to Thomas and we have permission to ask questions, permission to say, Lord, I need you to reach your hand out to me. And then we have the gift of seeing that you did offer your hand for Thomas, just as you do for us. So Lord, may we be tuned in today and every day, looking for those times when oh gosh, that was a Jesus moment. Lord, help us to feel that hand in ours. Help us to recognize it. And then, Lord, give voice to it. Glorify those experiences so that someone else who has had an experience and they're not sure if that was odd or if it was God, our experiences can affirm for them. So, Lord, let us be tuned in to you and to one another. And let us carry this wonderful gift that you are to us as we go throughout our days. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. And do you know what I keep forgetting to do? I keep forgetting to bless our offering. And so I would like to offer just a real quick prayer over that, and then we will sing our doxology before we sing another Bible school song. We're going to sing a Bible school song, aren't we, Linda? So let's bless our offering. Lord God, we have brought gifts back to you today that are symbols of our trust and our faith in you and our faith that you will show us where it is that we need to work in the community. Lord, there is so much that needs done and so many people that need help. May we take what you have trusted to us and bring joy to someone else. And in that, may they glorify you.